Did you know that the enemy took up?
This came up a lot in this great. This thing, I was doing this because of surrogate motherhood. Then according to this, that means the surrogate mother is the mother, because that's the one providing nutrition.
Well, maybe you need both. In other words, he's not saying it's only the nutrition. He's saying without nutrition, you're not a mother. So that could be that nobody's a mother, a surrogate mother. One is not the genetic, and one is not the nutritive. So really, you have no mother at all, or two mothers. That's it.
So I heard from discussions, about the great, arguments about the fish, and this came up over there because his opponents were busy saying that since the parasites in the fish can be scientifically shown to have parents, so therefore they must not be the parasites that are mutter.
Right.
And he was very angry at that. He's like, look, the Gemara says that they don't have parents. You have to figure out what the Pshat of the Gemara is, but don't go and say.
Right. He was Makel on the Anisakis? How do you pronounce it? Anisakis, the parasite in the salmon. Yeah. Okay, everybody. Again, I just want to finish up a few hours, then go on to really, hopefully, a totally new Indian, an important Indian. The past few weeks, we've been talking about the whole Shaila of people who are not Shomer Shabbos and not religious, Lagabe touching wine, and Lagabe Aliyah LaTorah, Lagabe Bracha. So one preliminary point I want to make, and that is, we have a whole bunch of heterim, right? We have the heter of Tinok Shenishba, we have the heter that a person, Bizman Ezek, could still be a maimon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if he doesn't keep the mitzvahs. Then we have the heter that if a person is on the way coming back, so even though he's not there yet, he's left the category of mummer and min. Now the question is, are these heterim consistent across the board? Meaning the following: if you're seimech on these heterim for yayin, does that automatically mean siruf leminyan and an aliyah, or are these separate miksais? Meaning to say, the fact that you're machriya leheter in one context does not automatically mean you'll be making in another context. Meaning the svaris are going to be the same, the heterim are going to be the same, but the question is, are they across the board, or is each inyan done in an individual way? So the emes is, we actually have svaras hafuchas in the paiskim. We have really three mahalchim. One mahalach is the Sri Deyesh. And the Sri Deyesh says that whatever heter you have by yayin is also going to apply for tziruf leminyan and aliyah. It's all one big thing. In other words, you either accept tinok shenishba or you don't, but if you accept it, it's going to work for everything. In other words, the Sri Deyesh says it's all one aliyah. I see that Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky said, he may have had earlier Makarius, but he said that fakert, there might be chumras in yayin that we don't have in the other things. Meaning, even if you're makel for tziruf leminyan and you're makel for aliyah, but since stam yenam was makusher to gezeros that Chazal made legabe avodah zorah, so therefore it has a certain chaymer. So he says fakert. He says yayin is the last thing you're going to matter. Now we're still, which means put it the other way. According to Rav Yaakov, if you're seimech on the binyan siyin legabe yayin, Kal v'chaymer, you'll be seimech on him legabe minyan. Minyan was the one that said tinok shenishba and maimon. So according to Rav Yaakov Svara, if you're seimech on the binyan siyin legabe yayin, then kal v'chaymer, you'll be seimech on him for minyan and aliyah. But le'idach gisa, if you're machmer on yayin, that doesn't necessarily mechayev you to be machmer on minyan. Right? In other words, that's what Rav Yaakov said. Rav Yaakov learns that yayin nesach is more chamer.
What about the device of even though you want to have someone who's part of Amunah b'Hashem, but the device of busha, like all of it, and at the same time as the busha, you stop them from any chance of coming back to Torah because you have 10 people in the room and you say you don't have a minyan.
Well, it could factor in, but as I say, you try to do it in a way that's not mavoyish. Sometimes it'll be difficult, but you could say we're waiting for somebody, we're waiting for the rug, we're waiting for what was it? One of Rabbi Levin's, I think Rabbi Far Levin, who was Rabbi Nachlot, he was Rabbi Levin, Rabbi Yasser's brother-in-law. So there was a Balabayas who was like not even a Talmud Chacham at all. but he used to tell the chazan to wait for him to finish Monesha. They didn't wait for Rav Rafael, but he said, "Don't to do Chazar." So somebody says, somebody asked him, like, you know, why are you waiting for this? This makes the person feel good. He feels a chashuv person, you know. So, you know, so there are ways of doing it. So you're waiting for somebody to come. Now, the MS is Rav Moshe Sternbach and Rav Wessner say the opposite of Rav Yaakov, and they say fakert. Even if you're meko bayayin and you're saimech antinok shenishba, they say bedavka you should be machmir. Okay, minyan and yayin are the same. In other words, you're mitzarif laminyan. But legabe and aliyah, where the person is making a bracha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if he's not a total maimin b'Hashem, or he's not a total makabel the Torah, so that's nichlal and ein zeh mevarech elaminayit. So he has a svara that the thing you have to be most machmir in is an aliyah and duchening, anything that involves making a bracha. So according to him, you would give the Mechal Shabbos psicha, or other kavod, or glila, hadla, glila, and the like, but you would not give them a bracha. But again, there many people are mekel on bracha too, but this is what the Rav Moshe Sternbach says. And then there's yet a fourth shita that's mechalek.
Why is tefillin not? There's also brachas. It involves making brachas.
So. Yeah, but so the question is, why do you tell the person to daven, you mean?
Why isn't
Sarif to
Minyan?
No. He cannot be a Shliach Tzibur. No. You're Mitzarif from the Minyan because you're Mitzarif a person even if he's not davening at all. You're Mitzarif a Yosha. You're Mitzarif to a Minyan even if you're not davening. I mean, I could say Chazar Sashatz. If you have six people who need to hear Chazar Sashatz, even if the four people already daven. So Tzirif Laminyan is not the same thing as being Mishtatif him in the pool of Tefila. And then
these rabbis, Rav Sternbach and Rosner, would be in some towns in the United States. Like in my town in Halifax, there were maybe three Shomer Shabbos.
Yeah.
So who could even aliyah to?
Well,
in Braimra, you can't give one person three aliyahs.
Well, Masechet Sofer actually talks about the time in the Chazal when when the Oyla would read the aliyah. So it mentions if there was only one person who knew how to read, he gets all seven aliyahs, but he has to sit down between aliyah and aliyah. Now, the emes is, Masechet Sofer might have been talking about the time where the only one that made the bracha was the first and the last, so the middle aliyahs didn't make brachas. It could be b'zman hazeh, it's not shayach like a thing. You're not going to have one guy make seven, 14 brachas, or 16 brachas if you include maftir as well. Now, the Ben Ish Chai, though, and again, this has nothing to do with the Sephardic psak, has a pshara that Achreinim bring, which is a very interesting pshara. This is very interesting. He says, for Darchei Shalom, and to avoid Chilul Hashem, you are permitted to give Mechalalei Shabbos Aliyos, but you should do it after the mandatory seven Keruim. So, a Shabbos Kriya, you're Mechayiv to have seven Aliyos. But you're allowed to make haisafas. So optimally, not from after, but you'd add an acharon or something. Optimally, if the Mechal Shabbos is going to get an aliyah like a simcha for a bar mitzvah or whatever it is, you add an aliyah, you divide up shvi, and you add an acharon and give him an acharon, and then you have a mafdir.
You have a second, right.
And b'di'eved, he says, b'di'eved, this is not the best thing, you can even give him an aliyah in the middle, or let's say he's a Kohen or a Levi, as long as you will have seven aliyahs. In other words, the best thing to do is, don't call him up till after the seven aliyahs, but if you call him up Kohen or Levi, or Shlishi, then just be sure you make a hosafa so you do have seven aliyahs. But that's what Ben Ish Chai says. Lamaisa, that doesn't help your show. You have a three Mechal Shomer Shabbos. But at least in a case of bar mitzvahs or family simchas, you'd be able to. But again, I want to point out, very important, this is Bino Gael Lamaisa, that all of this is talking about, you know, the Tinok Shenishba or the Maimen, even though he doesn't keep Torah. If you mamish have a person who is not a Tinok Shenishba, who is a kaifer in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he's an atheist, but he likes to participate in family simchas, then you're really in trouble. I mean, Lamaisa, there is, or actually, he's more in trouble, but Lamaisa, there are going to be gevulim, meaning all of these heterim will not apply to every situation. Now, how that plays out in real life is a little complicated. Because let's say somebody is a Reform rabbi. And the Reform rabbi has, you know, a nephew that's having a bar mitzvah in an Orthodox shul. The Reform rabbi shows up as a guest. Now, are you allowed to give a Reform rabbi an aliyah? Let's even assume like the Ben Ish Chai, that you're not going to even make him the seven kruin, but you're going to give him, a haisafa, or you'll have a haisafa if you give him something in the middle. Right? So let's assume you avoided that problem. But the question is, if the Reform rabbi's beliefs are considered to be kfira and not be korsis, the question becomes like this. Some Reform rabbis could still be considered tinok shenishba by virtue of their background, and mimela there's a smach to be mekel. Other Reform rabbis are clearly not tinok shenishba. They had the background, they had the chinuch, they had the education, and they rejected. So the point is, with all of the leniencies that you have in halacha, and even the union of kavod abrios, there are going to be some cases where you're going to be stuck. Now that doesn't mean you're rude to the Reform rabbi. Can you give him psicha? Technically you could, although I'm not sure if that's such a good idea either. I mean, but there are the heterim have their limits, meaning tinok shenishba, maimin in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or a person that's chayzer in the process of chayzer b'tshuva, they encompass many, many people, but they don't encompass everybody. And there are going to be points at which you cannot really be megal. Now, what happens in the United States is that since we have so many heterim, so many different types of people, what happens in most shuls is they're megal on everything. Because, after all, you know, this uncle that was a Mechal Shabbos got an aliyah, so how come this uncle, you know, can't? It's very, very difficult to make these differentiations. It's easier to either say nobody gets unless they're Shomer Shabbos, or what happens is everybody gets. But everybody gets is not right either. In fact, there's even a din in Achrayim. It's a complicated din. Are you allowed to even assist a kaifer into doing a mitzvah? This was actually Rav Shachet, this taina. It really endangers the whole enterprise of Kiras. He says a person who puts on tefillin, who doesn't believe in Hashem, but he's doing it to do you a favor. He says it's a bracha levatala. Rav Shach says it's a bracha levatala. A kaifer. Well, this is one of Rav Shach's things against Lubavitch. Rav Shach had a million things against Lubavitch, but one of his, you know, you figure the tefillin campaign is the... who can sign on the tefillin campaign? Well, Rav Shach had a sign on the tefillin campaign. He said, if people are not maminim b'Hashem, then their bracha is a bracha levatala because they're not mechavein. So Lemaisa, the hetra we have, it's a good kasha, but the hetra we have for people who are not yet maimin, and we try to be madrich them, is it's not worse than chinuch of a katan. Meaning, it's an interesting theoretical question. Is a person who's not a maimin makayim the mitzvah of tefillin? Maybe not. But l'chol apachis, I could be machaneichim in the mitzvah of tefillin, on the idea that could eventually bring him on. Right? So it's very interesting. The bracha is not be etzem a kiyam ha-mitzvah, but it's a chinuch towards a kiyam ha-mitzvah.
So you don't have to be makdum that his hands should be clean, etc., and whatever is necessary to make a bracha?
Well, you should anyway, because that's gufa, the chelik of chinuch. You know, the marshal brings a raya, and parents are not always zoyer in this, that when you're mechanech a child in mitzvahs, you are mechuyev to do it in a way that would be kosher when he would become a gadol. And the Gemara brings the Marshal brings a raya from Helene Amalka. The Gemara discusses the shaila is a sukkah, right? The Mishnah says a sukkah that's lamaila meyesra mama is psula. So frek the Gemara, Helene Amalka had a sukkah that was lamaila meyesra mama. And kol ma'aseh hayu al pi chachamim, v'chi tema, she's an isha. And an isha is peturim and asukah, so who cares how big her sukkah is? The answer is no. She has seven sons. And by definition, at least the oldest son must have been Higia L'chinach. So Zakhtar Marshal, but so what? If it's only chinach, who says chinach means I gotta be a kosher sukkah, as long as it looks like a sukkah. So you see from here that in order to be mekayem the mitzvah of chinach, it has to be done in an eifin that is kosher. That's why sometimes, you know, the people who sell lulav and esrog, they have what are called chinach sets. Now sometimes a chinach set, they sell you a puzzle lulav and esrog. Yeah, chinach. For chinach, it'll be good enough. The emes is not that way. Chinach is mechayev. Let it be something that is kosher. So mamela, the same thing would be true for yad of nekiyos and all of those halachas. Yeah.
Why is it not worse than chinach? Because chinach on mitzvahs is only the child who must see the concept of the mitzvah.
Yeah.
So he knows that this is a chiyuv, the rish was mechayev after yeah. this mitzvah. So here he doesn't really know anything. So.
You're talking about the gadol, the one who's not yet a maimon.
Yes.
The thing is, you know, he doesn't yet believe it, but he can understand it. Meaning, I could explain to him that we believe that we are connecting to God by doing this. So he understands what it is that is being communicated to him. So at that point, it could enter his mind, and the mamela might permeate his heart and emotions and feelings and the like, you know. But it's a very, you know, it is an interesting tahara, meaning the idea, I mean, it almost goes in a circle. The whole idea that kirov rechaikim is such a great, great, great thing to do, is not a totally unquestioned premise. There are those that say, Bishlama, if somebody is a maimon, but they're chayte because of taiva, so of course be makarav them. But if someone lacks basic emuna, then for Karek to do the mitzvahs with him is a brachal of atala or whatever it would be. So we have to come out and say there's a yisayit of chinuch even legabi gedaylim.
Why just don't say the bracha? Don't say the bracha.
That could be too, but that could be too. That's really what Rav Shach was saying. Rav Shach was saying, be madrich a person without brachas. Okay, but lemaisa, you know, the brachas also has a hashma on a person.
Then chinuch, sorry, the tzur of the mitzvah is that good brach. So if we go with that, you should have to say the bracha because it says Aaron.
You still need chinuch because lemaisa, if a person is only mekayim a mitzvah. If he's maimon, it came from Hashem. Then he's not mekayim the mitzvah. It can only be mitam chinuch. Meaning, this really goes back to Rav Chaim. Rav Chaim Brisker said, a person that is not a maimon b'Hashem is not mekayim the mitzvah. He does a mitzvah. He's not mekayim the mitzvah because he's not doing it because he believes HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded him. That's Rav Chaim's chiddush. Now, according to Rav Chaim, one thing is not clear to me. The parameters of that. So according to Rav Chaim, if a person does mitzvahs and he's not a maimon, he's not going to get schar for doing mitzvahs because those activities were not done to serve Hashem. So number one, I think some want to say there's a chiluk between Bein Adam Lamakayim and Bein Adam L'chaveirei. Meaning like this, if an atheist puts on tefillin to humor me or because he's a nice guy, so Rav Chaim says, what does it mean to put on tefillin if you don't believe Hashem gave you a commandment? You did nothing good here. It's connected to mitzvah Sriches Kavana. In other words, Avada, if you hold mitzvah Sriches Kavana, then for sure this is going to be true. Because definitionally, if he's not a maimon, you can't say he's mechavein to keep a mitzvah of Hashem. That's true. But even if you hold mitzvahs ein sriches kavana, the svara would just be that even if he doesn't have a specific kavana bishas mitzvah, but generally he understands these are pa'ulas to serve Hashem. So you don't need the kavana on the pa'ula, but a person that's legamri, not a maimon, doesn't have that at all.
Yeah.
Huh? For a daraisa, we paskin sriches kavana. Yeah, that's right, that's right. So l'chari for sure he's not mekayim. Now the question becomes though, some want to say, and I think it's mistavra, that mitzvahs bein adam l'chaveirei are different. I mean, l'mashal, is a kaifer going to get reward from Hashem if he gave tzedakah, if he helped people? So the svar is like this. Bein Adam L'Chaveray is bi'etzem a hatava. You know, what, in other words, it's the other way around. It doesn't become good because the Eibishter commanded it. It's the other way around. The Eibishter commanded it because it's good. It's bi'etzem good.
Who decided it's bi'etzem good?
Huh?
Who decided it's bi'etzem good?
Obviously, Kadosh Baruch Hu decided, but what I'm saying is, the Ta'eles Shebedavor is not because of the Tzivoy. The Tzivoy is Hashem putting his stamp of approval on this being a good thing. So the Kaifer can come out after Mea V'Yesrim Shana, when the Kaifer discovers there is Hashem. right? So he says, I did something good. I did something that you wanted me to do in the belt. So that's one svar. My other svar is like, my other kasha is like this. My other kasha is, if a kaifer who puts on tefillin does not get schar, so if he doesn't put on tefillin, does he get an einish for that? Meaning, his tanya would be, what do you want me to do? If I would have put it on, it wouldn't have counted. So how could there be a tanya? I didn't put it on.
I wanted to be chayz with you, but I didn't put on
tefillin. So the answer is, it could be that the kaifer is not going to be munz because he didn't put on tefillin. He's going to be munz because he was a kaifer. In other words, Hashem is not going to make a cheshbon. He's not going to make a cheshbon of every mitzvah you didn't do. Taka, when you were in that matzav.
Or maybe, yeah. Maybe munz, because you were a kaifer, therefore you weren't able to do all these things, so now you have to.
Okay, but what I'm saying is, but Lamaisa at the time, even if he would have done, in other words, I mean, what are you going to say the other way around? That even if he puts on tefillin, he's going to be nanash because he wasn't mekayim the mitzvah? Then you'd have the situation where even if he put on tefillin, he's going to be nanash because his kfira prevented him from being fulfilling the mitzvah of tefillin. In other words, it's lo shana. He can't win. He can't win unless he becomes a maimon. that's how he's going to win.
There are two things. One is Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, when he came into the school, he saw the mezuzah was at a lower level. So he said, no, you have to do the mitzvah in the top third. And for chinuch, even if they can't kiss the mezuzah, they have to place it the right way.
Right, that's right. Yeah,
one who was stopped from an aliyah was in England, a fellow who learned in Gateshead.
This is very controversial, very, very interesting. This is Rabbi Louis Jacobs, I would say, Olav Shalom, who was a Musmuch of Gateshead, a big Talmud Chacham, a person who really, you know, he knew not only Shas, but he knew Sifrei Chassidus and Kabbalah. He knew a tremendous, tremendous amount. But he developed some hashkafos that we would say, let's say, were not fully consistent with the Yud Gimel Ikrei Emuna about Torah Min HaShemayim and the like.
Now, very nicely.
No, but he remains. But here it's a complicated situation. He remained absolutely a Shomer Torah Mitzvahs his entire life. He remained in
he
basically, well, but that's because he got kicked out. I mean, he wanted to remain in the order. In fact, he was a candidate to be chief rabbi of England. He was going to be, and then the London Basin, which is a very kind of Haredi Basin, you know, kind of said he can't do it. So then he formed Misarati, he formed a conservative movement. But he himself was always personally a Shomer Mitzvahs, for sure, and he was Maimon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but he had certain ideas that.
How is it that someone so great could suddenly start developing?
Well, his basic idea was, he said it made no difference. I don't want to poison anybody with his hashgavah. He basically took the position that it didn't matter to him if it was given to Moshe or it was HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking through the collective wisdom of Chachmei Yisrael over time. He believed it came from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it could have been a Ruach HaKodesh thing. Okay, in other words, whether that would be a Zak Fira that would take you away from an Aliyah, that I have some doubts about. I don't know if you have to be so Machman. Now, it could be precisely because he was so prominent and people were nimshach after him, maybe fakir, maybe they had to be stricter there. Meaning, if I just had my uncle who had the Louis Jacobs, the Sashkafas, I think there would have been a makam to be very, very makel. But it could be Louis Jacobs already.
I mean, that's
huh?
No, it's
The truth of the matter is, I don't want to get in trouble. I mean, the truth of the matter is, there are Rishonim, including the Ravid, that are Chaylik on some of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. So, Sefer Ikrim himself is Chaylik on the Yud Gimel Ikrim. Right? So it's not a Dover Prush. I mean, we say as a shorthand, you have to be Maimon and Yud Gimel Ikrim, but if you go through all the Pratim and the Prate Pratim of the Yud Gimel Ikrim, although the consensus of Psak is that we follow them, but you see that many Rishonim were chaylik on this prat and that prat, so it's not an absolute.
Would you say it was Kiskandel and Kaisrael the next thing?
So that's already the big issue. That's what Nassim Slifkin faced. I mean, that's the issue of is there a Psak halacha in Hashkafa? That's a very important issue. Meaning like this. If, for example, the Rambam wrote that Chazal could be mistaken in matters of science. Okay, that's what the Rav Ram ben Rambam writes in the name of his father. That when it comes to scientific matters, Chazal could be mistaken. Okay. And then Slifkin writes books saying Chazal are mistaken in matters of science. And then Rav Moshe Shapiro says, Chas v'shalom, you know, that's Kfira. And Slifkin says, what do you mean it's Kfira? It's Rav Ram ben Rambam. So Rav Yoshev said on that, when he said it, it was not kafira, but the psak halacha has become right. Now there's, so that's a question. In halachadika matters, there is a psak. If the halacha is like Beis Hillel, I'm not allowed to do like Beis Shammai. But in hashkafa, which is going on whether something is true or false subjectively, it's not going on how I behave. So there are those who say that it's not shayach a psak halacha on an inyan of hashkafa if there's a makor in Rishonim that allows such a thing. Rabbi Yashiv apparently took the other position. Rabbi Yashiv said that kishem that there is a hachra, so this creates a mud nizach. So a person who said something 500 years ago would not be a kaifer. You say the same thing today, you might become a kaifer because there's that's the question. That is
huh?
There are actually many people that say not that way, but I mean I could you know get you a list, but some people say it, they don't say it publicly, but Rav Shlomo Fisher, for example, was one. Have you heard of Rav Shlomo Fisher? Very, very, very chashuv person. That's correct. Yeah, Rav Gedalia Nadal, Rav Chaim Kanevsky's chavrusa, also Zecharino Lebracha. These are not so. I mean, they're very, they're Adam Gadol Ma'ot, but you know, they're not so famous. But they're very, very chashuv people. You know, yeah. So, this is a big question. You know,
this is Rabbi
Kaplan, again, it's not necessarily a definitive marker, but Rabbi Kaplan also wrote that. He wrote in a number of his books that in Yonim of Hashkafa, that's not Nogel Lahalacha, a person has a reshus to be mefarish in different ways. It's not a halacha psuka on those and those in Yanim. Yeah. Okay.
This is Rabbi Lewis. I'm
which Rabbi Lewis?
The one who started the Mitzvah movement. He didn't believe in the Yom Kippur, or he's saying it was
no, Jacob, Lewis Jacobs, yeah.
Lewis Jacobs. Yeah. So he, this thing over here with the term Mishmaim, he holds like what Rabbi Lewis is saying? Or he said that it's okay if someone believes that?
No, he held it.
Okay, so I mean,
he was very honest. That's part of his undoing. I mean, he could have just kept it to himself, but he wrote it, and he wasn't writing. See, he wasn't writing to take with the kavana of taking people away from Torah for carrot. He thought, well meaning that this would be a Pesach that would bring skeptical people back to Torah. He had a religious sensibility, but as I say, the Hashkafas were connected some of the Yud Gimel Ikrim. But as I say, had he not been a famous person who had the status of a manig, I think we could have been makel to give him an aliyah. I would have given him as a yachid. I would have given him an aliyah. But I understand that, you know, in order to make gedarim and to make clear that his Hashkafa was not makubal, perhaps they had to be stricter than that.
Are there any Rishonim that we have like the Ravid and things? They don't disagree. He doesn't disagree with Yud Gimel Ikrim, but he disagrees that it is an Ikr, right? Are there any Rishonim that disagree with the actual Ikrim?
Yeah. There are some. But you're correct. Most of the you're 100% correct. Even the Sefer Ikarim, there is nothing that the Sefer Ikarim disagrees with in the Rambam's formulation other than saying it's not an ikar, meaning people misunderstand. Rav Yosef Albo was not trying to say, for example, Rav Yosef Albo says belief in Mashiach is not an ikar. As long as you believe in Schar V'Yinesh, even if you don't believe in Mashiach, let's say you only believe in Olam Haba, he says you're not a kaifer. Now people misunderstand. People think, oh, Rav Yosef Albo was saying there's not going to be Mashiach. Avada not, 1000% not. Of course he was Maimon in Mashiach. He just said that is called a branch, that is called an anaf, that is not called an ikar. So your point is 100% correct. But still, there are other areas where the Rishonim are chaylik even on
present. Can you see what they are?
Well, Hakshama, I mean, the Ravid says, when the Rambam writes, it's an ikar that Hashem does not have a guf. That's called Hakshama. There's no Gashmias in the Bayre. So the Ravid says, although he doesn't give us names, Kama Gedolim B'Tovim Mimenu, which means better people than you believe that Hashem has a guf. Now, the Ravid himself...
The Ravid's not being respectful to the Rambam.
Well, the Ravid never was, that's correct. Now the Ravid himself does not say that. The Ravid himself does not say that. But the Ravid does say there were Gedolim V'Tovim who did believe. Now the question becomes, who are they? So they're identified. There's a fellow, Mark Shapiro, who wrote a whole book where he collected Makairis from Rishonim, only from Rishonim, that were cholik on different nekudas in the Rambam Yud Gimel.
What does that mean? Is there a kuf up there? They believe that there's a body up there.
Or Hashem could take on the form of a body.
Because David Feinstein said that Shita has someone denies the Rambam, saying, he says,
Well, that's the Rabbi. That's what the Rabbi says. Gedolim B'Tovim Mimenu. Yeah, well, the Rabbi often is very harsh against the Rambam. There's one Lashon, Kama Niyaros Hifsit, he wasted paper. different Lashonis. Okay. Say again?
Gidrei Kofer, that is enough for me.
Yes, that's right. That's the issue. That is how Rav Aaron Feldman explains Rabbi Yashiv's position. That when there is a shaila, are you called a kofer or not? So whether a person is a kofer is nogeya lahalacha. It's nogeya yayin nesach. It's nogeya tzirif leminyan. It's nogeya aliyah letorah. So mimela, that's a psak halacha. If a gadol paskin, such a person can't have an aliyah, that's a halacha. You can't be chaylik. Yeah, but on the other hand, some say, it's I'll tell you, when the halacha depends on a hashkafa issue, mimela, you have to look at it as an inyan of hashkafa. This is a big issue. This is one of the major issues facing Klal Yisrael today. Whether there's a psak, whether there's such a musag as definitive psak halacha on inyanim of hashkafa or the like.
This is a black book. Is Rabbi familiar with it? Rabbi Meiselman's black book.
The Torah and Science?
Torah,
I'm familiar with it. I mean, I know the book, yeah.
He has like a whole big chapter on it over there.
Yeah. So, well, I know where he holds. But again, you know, in a way, it's hard to be machria, because, you know, you do have, you know, study mikan ulukan, and how does a person, you know, be machria, such a thing, right? But this is a very big issue. This is the Slifkin issue, other issues. This was the Lewis Jacobs issue. Now, I have to say that there are going to be boundaries, meaning even if we say there might be pratim in the Yud Gimel Ikrim that one doesn't have to believe, but certainly you have to believe something. For example, the first ikr is there's a God that created heaven and earth. Well, I don't believe in that ikr. I mean, at some point there has to be boundaries. And, you know, part of this issue with open orthodoxy, in which officially they still keep Shabbos and Kashrus and everything, but they have graduates, some very eminent graduates, who have written that Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov are myths. They never existed. They are mythologies to communicate spiritual truths. And the Torah was not given to Har Sinai. You know, at some point, you know, there are going to be very, very, very serious issues of kfira. And this goes beyond even Chilul Shabbos. This is a kfira in Ikrei Emuna Mamish. So they're going to be, you know, there already are. There's some very, very serious problems. How are we miyaches to open orthodoxy? You know, things like giving women smicha, you know, these are bad things. These are bad things, but they're not nichnas into kfira. They are just very bad things. But when you start talking about the avos being made up figures, that's a different magnitude, a different level. That's not simply making mistakes or doing irresponsible things, which is pretty bad too. That is pretty bad. But this is already a whole different thing. Or another example, I mean, there was a graduate of YCT, that's Chovei Torah, and he was a rabbi in Maine. And when Maine passed the law legalizing gay marriage, they passed the law. So he testified as a witness in the legislative hearing why he, as an Orthodox Jewish rabbi, was in favor of this law. And he wrote a newspaper article afterwards saying that he was so overjoyed, happy that apparently Maine passed the law during Hanukkah. So he said, Baruch Hashem, this is like the victory of the Maccabees over oppression. Now this is shocking. You know, if the pshat would be an Orthodox rabbi were to decide, I'm not going to testify against. Now people are testifying for. So you could make a deal. I mean, on one hand, you should protest things that are the Torah calls Toeva, even for Goyim. But one might say, listen, I have to conserve my energy. This would be right. If I do things that people will think I'm crazy for, I won't have influence in other things. So if his response would simply be, I'm not going to be Meicha. So you could dan. Should I be Mocha? Should I not be Mocha? There are times, Kishem Shigibalti Schar al Adrisha, Kach Shigibalti Schar al Prisha, Mutav Shiyu Shagigin, Valyu Mezidin, Kishem Shemitzvah Laimar Dover Hanishma. It's a mitzvah, loymer, dover, sheiner, nishma. Meaning, we understand the idea that even when there's all sorts of bad things, there are times, and you have to ask, there are times when I'm not supposed to actively be mocha, because it may be counterproductive. So if his response would be, I'm not going to get involved in this because A, B, C, that is a response, even if you disagree with, I think you could respect. But to celebrate and to even be a partial, I don't know how much it carried, to be a partial gairim of this? That's mamish
open. It's open. Yeah, everything.
Yeah, but that's that is really, really, really shocking. And it just shows you that when a person is, or a movement is porek ol, then literally it's their own seichel that does everything. Meaning, well, logically, you know, I shouldn't be against racism, I shouldn't be against this. And it's no longer what a Kaddish Baruch Hu says. So people have this split brain. They say, well, religiously, what does this even mean? Religiously, I'm against it. But socially, I'm for it. What does that even mean?
The rabbi lead the Kabbalah Shabbat service in the synagogue. There.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Right. A woman reform rabbi. Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah.
Did anyone speak out against that rabbi?
Like, yeah, they speak out.
Well,
you know, the RCA. Again, it's a confidential list, so I'm not supposed to talk about it. Rabbi Grassian's on it as well. I mean, there's a fellow Rabbi Gordimer in Washington Heights. He works for the OU. Who writes, you know, article after article. Some of it's been in Yated as well, just to alert people about the Chorban that's going on, because more and more synagogues are actually hiring YCT graduates. So they're quite successful in placement.
There's a reason why. Yeah. Because the shul says we're offering $25,000 in a house. YCT will have the rich people back. We're given another $20,000.
Right, because they have people that are subsidized. Yeah.
A regular rabbi can't even live off this salary.
Right.
They'll supplement.
So this is a big crisis. I mean, the truth of the matter is that the crisis of open orthodoxy in America, at least, is certainly more to the left than the beginning of the conservative and maybe even the reform movement, going back to the 19th century. You know, the reform movement started off with giving Droschos in German. That was like the big big thing. And having Goyim play the organ Friday night, which has its Sanhedrin. There's its Sanhedrin, the Ramah brings.
Real.
Right. Yeah, he brings. That the Minhag was, when they used to make chasnas Friday afternoon, they would eat the meal Friday night and they would have non-Jewish musicians play music. The Ramah brings them, not real. There was such a hedger, you know. So the early tikkunim, the early innovations of the reform movement, you know, hello, Pidin, okay, you know, the Everett, it was okay, you know. It wasn't as bad as some of these things. But the Chassam Sofer saw that this was a Pesach, this was an opening to create a Chorban. You know, and Krakow, I took a trip to Poland with the seminary a few years ago, so we went to Krakow. Krakow has the Ramosh shul, all the different shuls. The shuls in Krakow were not destroyed during the war, because Warsaw was 95% destroyed. Krakow was not destroyed at all, because Krakow was the Nazi capital of Poland, and a beautiful, beautiful medieval city. So the Governor General of Poland, Hans Frank, ordered that the buildings not be bombed, just kill the Jews, but leave the buildings, because he liked the architecture. So all of the shuls in Krakow are still there. The Ramah shul is there. In fact, when Hasidim go to the Ramah shul, they daven Nisach Ashkenaz, L'chavad the Ramah. He's the Murad the Yasra. So there's one beautiful, beautiful shul in Krakow that is called the Temple. The Temple was the Reform Synagogue of Krakow. So I asked somebody, what was Reform about it? He says, they gave the drasha in Polish. That was the Reform. There was a machitza, there was everything. They gave the drasha in Polish. Das heißt Reform in Poland. Okay.
Bima was in the middle?
Bima was in the middle, yeah. But the drushes, so the firmer element avoided that shul because it was a modernish shul. It was not Lefi Ruach Chachamim, you know, etc.
Okay. In America, my father told me the difference of the Chassidic setting and the Chassidic shul was called Goel setting. The difference between that and the Orthodox was they gave the drush in English.
Right.
Well, it was a Polish city. We always give drushes in Yiddish.
Yeah, that's right.
That was in the early 30s, that's it.
But then, here, let me just remind you of a very interesting horror of the Chazon Ish. You know, when in the 1940s, when they started opening up Chadorim, from Chadorim, for Israeli kids. So there was a whole shaila, should the language of Chinuch be Yiddish or Hebrew? Now earlier, in the time of Yeshua Lev Diskin, he was a big, big kanoi against Hebrew language instruction. He thought it was giving in to the Haskalah and giving in to the Zionists. And they made Muhammad, they made Machas against being Mishana, the language of instruction. So people were following that precedent, and they were being meicha, even though a lot of the kids wouldn't know Yiddish. They wouldn't understand the language. So the Chazon Ish says specifically that you're fighting yesterday's battle. That was a battle then. It says now you have a door that doesn't know Yiddish. You're mechuyev to teach Torah in the language that they will understand. If you're going to stand up for Yiddish, and they're not going to know Yiddish, and their parents don't speak Yiddish, then what are you doing? You're glorifying Yiddish at the expense of their ability to understand their learning. So the Chazon Ish himself, I think, would have supported giving the drasha in English if people wouldn't understand, right? Mashiach came in Europe, everybody knew Yiddish, so if you're Mashana to another language, for care. A lot of people didn't know Polish, like they would be forced to, you know, to work. This was the issue, you know, getting a far afield, you know, Moses Mendelssohn, or Moshe Mendelssohn, who himself was also a Shomer Mitzvahs, but his Hashkafas were a little off. He translated the Torah into German, and he wrote a Perish on it. But it was German in Hebrew letters. German in Hebrew letters, because many Jews didn't read German. And initially, this is very interesting, he had the Haskama of the Naida B'Yehuda.
Wow.
Because the parish itself was a good parish, etc. And they say the Chassam Sofer had a copy in his library that he, at least one place he actually refers to the parish. But eventually the Gedolim withdrew the Haskamas because they saw that this was a kind of a mechanism to draw Jews away from Torah into German culture and philosophy and the like. So even though the Etzem translation was a good thing, but it was with the Kavanah to be Meshech people. So that was, okay. Alrighty, so now let me just mention one other prat about the wine. I don't know if I'll get to my new topic today, but that is an interesting shiloh that's raised. What if a person makes kiddush and drinks and then discovers that the yayin that he drank was stam yena? He discovers that it was not mevushel and the mechal Shabbos had poured the bottle. Or maybe there was a nitzuk that the waiter, the Jewish frum waiter, filled up the non-Jew's cup. I remember if there was some wine there, through a nitzuk, the whole bottle becomes forbidden. So what is the halacha if you made kiddush on stam yenam, right, yayin nesach, are you yaitzei kiddush, do you have to make kiddush, kiddush again? So the interesting question here is that we have a klal called mitzvah haba b'aveira. If I fulfilled a mitzvah through a maisa aveira, not only do I have an aveira, but I also don't have a mitzvah. Now, l'chaira, since drinking stam yena is an aveira, so l'chol apachas and isra d'rabbanan, is that going to be mevatel the kiyam mitzvah of kiddush under the klal of mitzvah haba b'aveira? So the emes is, there are at least three different mahalchim to be makil here. Because here, number one, there is a machlokes achronim if mitzvah haba b'aveira applies where the aveira is midrabanan. The aveira is drinking stam yena. That is an iser drabanan. Mitzvah haba b'aveira might apply only when the aveira is a doraisa. When it's a drabanan, it may not apply. Number, that's one svara.
Yeah, the mitzvah is derabanan also, though.
Yeah, yeah. No, that's another svara. Right? The other svara to be makel is that you only say mitzvah haba b'aveira on a mitzvah d'oraisa and not on a mitzvah derabanan. And here, kiddush al hayayin is only derabanan because d'oraisa, you're yotzei in tefillah. Although the Mishnah Berurah says a svara, since you know you're going to make kiddush at home, your mechavin not to be yotzei, that would make it a doraisa. And then there's another svara, a third svara, I'll mention a fourth one. The third svara is that you only say mitzvah babi aveira when the aveira is mazed and not shogeg, and if you didn't know, the aveira was b'shogeg. Right, so far we have three different mahalchim.
Whose svara is that?
I don't remember. I think the Avnei Nezer, so we have three different svaras. One svara is mitzvah babi aveira doesn't apply on an aveira drabanan. Another svara is mitzvah babi aveira doesn't apply on a mitzvah drabanan, and that would be nitzcha from Mishnah Berurah. And the third svara is mitzvah babi aveira does not apply on a iser b'shegeg. Now, let me mention a fourth svara, a very interesting svara from the Nesivus. And the Nesivus is not talking about this at all. The Nesivus in Chayshin Mishpat deals with the din of Mekach Tais. And what is the din of Mekach Tais? The din of Mekach Tais is that if a person buys meat and discovers after he buys it that it's not kosher, that's called a Mekach Tais, and he gets his money back. And the emes is he gets his money back even if he ate the meat. Even if he ate the meat, he gets the money back. It's called the Mekach Tais Legamri, even if he can't give back the meat. Right, this is a din in Shulchan Aruch, it's a Mekach Tais. Zokt, the Nesivus, what if he bought meat, and he ate it, and he then discovers that it was a treifa midrabanan, that the meat was treif, but only through an iser drabanan. Zakta Nesivis, if he was Iver on an Iser Drabanan B'Shegeg, it's not a Maisa Aveira B'Chlau, In other words, an Isur Darabanan B'Shegeg is not a Maisa Aveira. And Memeila, you don't have to do Tshuva. And Memeila is not a Mekach Tois. What is his Svara? His Svara is based on the Rambam. The Rambam learns that what is Mechayev me to keep Isurei Darabanan? Why do I have to keep Darabanan? And how can I make a Bracha on a Darabanan like Ner Chanukah? Asher Kiddushanu B'Mitzvaysav. Where did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say I have to keep Darabanans? Zakta Rambam, Gemara in Shabbos, because it says Lai Sasser. The Torah says, do not depart from what the Chachamim tell you. The Rambam says,
1711.
Huh? Right, right. The Rambam says that applies to Takanos, not only to Chazal interpreting the Pesukim, Drashos, it even applies to Takanos and Gezeiros. Therefore, the Rambam learns, every time you're over on a Drabanan, you're over actually on two diarises. You're over on the love of Lai Sasser, Mikol She'agidu Lecha, and the Mitzvah Saseh, Al Pi HaTorah Sher Yarucha Tasa, Al Mishpat Yarmuchu Tasa, Lo Sasser Yaminu Sma. Ah. So Memeila Zakta Nesivas like this. Bishlama, when the Torah says, don't eat Chazer, so the Maisa Aveira is defined as eating Chazer. So even if I'm a Shegeg, even if I'm a Shegeg, I didn't intend to rebel against HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I was not a Mirate, but I violated his Ratzon by eating the Chazer. And therefore the Chazer is Pagei my Neshama. Therefore I need Tshuva. That's why you bring a Korban Chatas. In other words, even a Chet B'Shogeg needs a kapara. But like Sasur, if the Chachamim say don't eat something, it's not the pshat that it's poison, it's not the pshat that it's treif. The Torah says, don't be moreh against the Chachamim. Zakta Nesivas. If I don't have kavana to be a moreh, then I didn't do an aveira at all. It's not the pshat, I did an aveira b'shegeg. If the aveira is don't eat chazer, yeah, even though I thought it was kosher, I ate chazer b'shegeg. But if the aveira is don't rebel against the chachamim, zakta nesivas, a shegeg on an isur derabanan is not even a maisa aveira at all. So according to that, it's not a mitzvah babi aveira because it's not an aveira. In other words, don't confuse this. There is a shita that says an aveira b'shegeg, there's not a problem of mitzvah babi aveira. Okay, that's one thing. But like the Nesivas, it's Bechlal not there. Now, the emphasis is the Nesivas is a real, real cover. I mean, let me give you a simple example of the very surprising results you'd have according to the Nesivas. Let's imagine that you're Seimech on an Erev. Now, B'derech Klal, an Erev only matirs a Rishus, Tzuris HaPesach rather, Tzuris HaPesach without a real Mechitza, only matirs a rishus where the Isser Haitzah is midrabanan. That's why you can't, right? That's the problem of making a Tzuris HaPesach where you have 600,000 people, whatever it is. And those who are machmer and erevin are because they treat it as a rishus harabim, less than 600,000. Okay? Now, so, which means Tzuris HaPesach, the wires, only matir tiltal in what would be a karmelis. It would not matir tiltal in what would be a Rishus HaRabim. To matir a Rishus HaRabim, you need actual mechitzas, walls, right? So you could build a stadium, etc. That could be. Ah. So, let's say the Erev is down. So people are carrying in an Erev. According to the Nesivas, why should I announce that the Erev is down? To be matzil then? From an Isur Darabanan? But if they don't know that they're being Iver on an Isur Darabanan, they're not doing anything wrong. It's a Madnazach. I mean, it's Maisim B'chol Yayin, or somebody's about to move Muktzah. Right? So the famous thing that you'll hear, Muktzah, right? Little kid. This is a lot of people who are new to Shabbos, they always say they get so embarrassed when these 6-year-old kids seem to know about this Muktzah thing, you know. He's about to reach for a cell phone. Muktzah! Well, I mean, like the Nesivas, I mean, it's hard to imagine how you'd apply the Nesivas. Why do I have to tell somebody, don't move Muktzah? I mean, why am I mechayev to learn the laws? I mean, again, you get into all sorts of crazy. Why do I have to learn the laws of Moksa if there's no aveira until I know it? So it seems, Pashut, that we don't paskin like the Nesivos here. It's hard to know because there are maisim b'chal yaim that we tell people not to be over on Isurei Derabanan when they were not aware there was such a thing. But nevertheless, the Nesivos says it halacha l'maisa in Hilchos Mekachtais that an Isurei Derabanan b'shageg doesn't need kapara because the etzem aveira is the merida against the chachamim, and if you have no kavana to be moreid, he says it's not a maisa, it's not a maisa aveira. This would be another svar. Rabbi Chanan has a kuntres. It's a kuntres divrei seifrim on the kayach of drabanans and the like.
A person is supposed to have a shame tov. Yeah. Some people know the Arab is down and they see someone carrying, they may think, well, that person knows the Arab. They may think there's a, so therefore, the question of telling them, do they know or don't they know?
Yeah.
And so they want to remind them because maybe the eights are hard. They'll be caring. So they have a shame rab by caring.
Yeah.
The Arab is down.
No. Yeah, you're correct. I mean, there are reasons not to tell people the Arab is down. That's a separate reason. That's a separate cheshvan that by Nisra Durabana, and this has nothing to do with the Nesivos. There's a separate idea by Nisra Durabana that we say mutav sheyushagigin ve'al yomayzid. That's nothing to do with the Nesivos. That just says if they're gonna do it anyway, then if it's an Isra Durabanan, for sure it is better not to tell them. Not because it's not an Aveira, but because let it be a Shogeg Aveira instead of it being a Mezid Aveira. Yeah, but that's a separate thing. That's not Toloyan the Nesivos. Especially if, you know, the Erev is down and a mother is, with her, wheeling her baby, you tell the Erev is down, she's there are ways of moving the baby. But in many cases, the mother is likely to just keep on going. So it would be better not to tell her.
That's partially with the Rosh Hashanah Kurtz and Sivas, you wouldn't all these nafkaminas. But I would think that one of two things. Either maybe there's a din on us to get people to listen to Rabbanan, or if the Rabbanan say it, there's probably a benefit in that. Probably they recognize a certain benefit to living that lifestyle. So
I hear. So technically, it wouldn't be because of lafrushe miisura. I mean, the language we normally say is, I have to be mafrish somebody from a sin. So you're saying that wouldn't be the reason here. Like in the Sivas, there's no sin.
Right.
It would be for the benefits of becoming listening to the Chachamim. Okay, it could be. But as I say, the Lashon is normally lafrushe miso. Okay, so good. So I didn't get to my new topic. Look at Seder. So next week, I'll tell you what we're going to talk about. We're going to spend a little bit of time on some of the laws of Tznias, the Hilchos Tznias, as they apply to people in Kiruv. This would refer to Kol Isha, covering hair, and Chibuk V'Nishuk, shaking hands, or other types of physical contact, a little bit of Yichud, Hilchos Yichud. Let me just point out right off the bat, a very, very important yesod you need to know, that the laws of Tznias are Negeya, two different chalakim of the Shulchan Aruch. This is extremely important. There are the Aruch Chaim laws of Tznias and the Evan Ha'ezer laws of Tznias. The Evan Ha'ezer laws of Tznias are the general laws that apply how men and women interact. But then there are special Aruch Chaim Dikka laws that when it comes to Talmud Torah and Kriyashma and Brachais and Devorim Shebikdusha, the laws of Tznias may create an issue. A simple example is, let's take your own wife. There's absolutely no question that there's no issue of Kol Isha in hearing my wife sing. I can have my wife sing to me. Like Rav Moshe, that's even if she's a Nida. Some are Machmer if she's a Nida. But certainly, Ishto Tahira, there is no question that the Evan Ha'ezer Dika Isser of Kol Isha does not apply to Ishtai Tahira. But when it comes to Shmiya, to Amiras, Devarim Shebikdusha, even ishto tahira. Right? If your wife is singing, you cannot say brachos or daven. That'll be a problem of benching, singing, benching together and the like. So one has to be mechalot. So all of the different heterim, your mother, your daughter, your sister, whatever the heterim are, these are heterim in the general laws of how I interact with a woman. They are not nageya, the Orach Chaim Dikah laws of amiras devarim shebektusha. So it's very, very important to be sensitive to that dimension. And so we'll talk about the chilukim there. Another thing that's going to be difficult is that there seems to be inconsistencies, contradictions almost, in yichud, chibuk, v'nishuk, and kolisha, meaning there are heterim in each of them that don't apply to the other, but you can't say that one is more makel because each one is like machmer in some pratim and makel in other pratim. So that's taka a difficult thing to work out, because all of those are based on the same predicate, that they're goreim, hirhurim, that are improper. And yet we have certain kulas in each one that you don't have in the other ones. That'll be something we'll talk about as well. All right, have a good day.
I think it was Rabbi Lamberg in Washington Heights. They had